sins. Well, let's look at Exodus 24. Read a few verses as we think about the law that was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. Imagine being used by the Lord to receive the tables of stone, to receive the commandments of God, and to be able to present them before the children of Israel. And that's what Moses had the opportunity of doing, meeting with God on Mount Sinai and receiving the tables of stone that were written with the finger of God. And we're seeing chapter 24, verse 1. We'll read 12 verses and then we'll go over to another chapter to read one verse. Exodus 24, verse 1. And he, that is God, said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under the feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and the law, and commandments which I have written, and that thou mayest teach them. Now if you turn over to Exodus, just a few chapters ahead, Exodus 31, and verse 18. Just to read one verse, Exodus 31, verse 18. This is 40 days and 40 nights after Moses had gone up into the mountain. He's been there for 40 days and 40 nights. And we read in verse 18 of chapter 31. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. And trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful words that are recorded, the scene that it must have been, Moses going up into Mount Sinai to meet with God and to receive the very oracles of God, the very utterances of God. What a wonderful experience that must have been to meet with God. But Lord, we pray that today, in this age, today, here tonight, that there will be those who will meet with God, who will see the word of God that has been written with his very finger. We pray, Lord, the word of God that has been written down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit will be applied to hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, that we'll know as we go away tonight, know the joy in our hearts of having our sins dealt with and laid at the cross, where Jesus Christ laid down his life. And we know for sure that Jesus has taken away our sins. He has bore in his own body on the tree at Calvary our sins. We pray, Lord, that each one will know peace with God, even tonight. We pray that that will be the case in Jesus' name. We pray these things. Amen. We were thinking there a moment ago of sharing with you of how the Lord called me. And think of Moses, whenever he was called. I think it's Exodus chapter 4 and the verse 10. Whenever the children of Israel were still in Egypt, they were still in bondage, they were still in slavery. But whenever God called him and spoke to him out of the bush, time later Moses said, "I'm not eloquent." He said he was slow of speech. He was of a slow tongue. But God had another plan. God said, "Therefore, go now. Therefore, go." And God called Moses, and he used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, where they were held captive and held in slavery. And for 40 years, of course, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And the children of Israel were taught many, many different things through all of the different various trials and the sufferings that they had. They were taught to obey the Lord. And eventually, they made it to the land of Canaan, the other side of the river Jordan. Before they went into Canaan, they reached the other side of Jordan at a place called Mount Sinai. And it was there where they set up camp. And it was there where Moses would meet with God. And we've just read about it. He went up the mountain. He went so far with all the elders and Aaron and the other couple of men that were with him. And then God called him up the rest of the way. And he waited upon the Lord to come. And the children of Israel looked on and they saw thunderings and lightnings. What must they have thought as Moses was up the mountain? But Moses was up there for a purpose, because he was going to receive the tables of stone. The tables of stone that would have the very written words of God, the law of God, the commandments of God. And many people today, they perhaps get confused of how the law is to be treated. They have various ideas, they have various opinions, and people have their own idea about how they should follow through in their lives, and how they can be saved particularly. They have their own way of thinking about salvation when they think of the law, and they get confused as to what it is for. Get confused of how it is used by God through the Word of God to convict us of various different things. But I trust that will be highlighted. But thinking today in the world where there's much opinion, there's much influence from the rest of the world, many people in society today, they don't want to hear the words of the Bible. They don't want to hear from God's word. They think it's not relevant for them today. They think it will not give them any hope at all. Those are the other extreme type of people. But there are words from God to be listened to. God's word, we must declare it. We must spread it abroad, because it is a word that must be listened to. It must be heeded to. And it must be obeyed. The government, of course, has a law, and it must be obeyed even by us as God's people. Unless it goes against our faith, of course. But God's word, is it not more important? We must follow after God's word. We must listen to him in this day and age, where we can be very quick to follow the influences that surround us, and be quick to forget about God's word. We must listen to what the Lord has to say, especially these words that we've just read together in Exodus 31 and the verse 18. Those words which speaks of God, the tables of stone having been written with the finger of God. I encourage you to listen. Listen to the word of the Lord. So we're thinking about the law, this law that was given by Moses. Of course, the law, it is set by God as a standard for us as human beings. God's law shows us how to live morally. It shows us how to live properly. It shows us how to live honestly before God. And it shows us simply what God expects of us. It shows us what God requires of mankind. And it is set in God's word to show us how to live righteous, good, decent, proper lives instead of sinfully in God's sight. But you know, some think that just by simply doing good, that's what I was making a point a minute ago, how people get confused as to how to use the law. People think that by doing good, that is enough to get them into heaven. It could be good works, like giving money to the poor, giving money into the church. People might think, just like we have done tonight, that is a way to buy ourselves a place in heaven. We might be giving money to others, people just generally out in society, that will buy them a place in heaven. Or maybe helping others practically. People think along practical lines that those good works could be a way that they could get to heaven, and they'll be recognized as a good person, as a good citizen. Or in trying in general to keep the actual commandments of God, and they try to obey the law of God in their own self, in their own strength, in their own way. And all of these things are good. Those things are good. We're not throwing those things away. They are proper. They have their place. But, you know, trying to do those things in and of ourselves is not enough to save our souls. You see, good works is not the way of salvation. Good works cannot save us. We cannot depend upon ourselves to get into heaven. Romans 3 verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds, doing deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. We cannot be declared righteous by God by simply doing particular deeds, doing different things. God looks down and he sees all your efforts. He sees all your attempts to do good. What does he say? He says, that is not enough. That is not enough. He says, I cannot cleanse you from your sins. I cannot justify you. I cannot declare you righteous. I can't forgive you. I can't make you ready and fit for heaven, because all of your works, all of your efforts are not enough for you to get to heaven. They're not enough for you to take away your sin. Think of Cain and Abel. Remember how Cain, he worked, he was a tiller of the ground, he was a farmer. He brought his works, he brought the fruit of the ground, he brought his works before the Lord to the altar. Abel, he brought the lamb, he brought what God required to shed the blood of that lamb and to offer it on the altar. Cain's works of the ground couldn't save him. His own works couldn't be accepted by God, but we know that the Lord was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. So therefore the law does not save us. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. So no matter what we try to do, it will never be enough to get us into heaven. Trying to keep the law in our own strength, of course, is impossible. But remember, we are to, as believers, those of us who are saved, we are to obey the summary that has been given in the law of God. Because we said a moment ago that it does show us how to live proper, decent lives. So we're not to throw the law away. That is how we are to live as believers. But it is not enough to save us in and of itself. So it's impossible for us to keep the law. That is, we cannot depend on the law to save us in and of itself. But while God's law does show us a summary as to how we are to live our lives before God, the vital thing that it does show us is that we cannot, as I've just highlighted a minute ago, we cannot actually obey the law. You think about it. The more we try to keep the law, we realise, as we analyse our lives up against the law, we can't keep the law perfectly. We can't do it. It's logical if you think about it. By the law, that verse in Romans 3 verse 20 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law shows us our sin. It reveals to us that we are actually sinners. You think of the rich young ruler. If you want to turn to it, Luke chapter 18, to illustrate it, it's a wonderful illustration, and it's in God's word. Luke chapter 18, where the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. It was the ruler. And he came and he said, it says, a certain man, or a certain ruler, asked him, that is, he came to the Lord, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Maybe you're like that. Older people here, senior folks. You look back on your life and you think, well, I've tried to keep all of the commandments. I've kept them from my young days. Maybe young people here, you're saying, yeah, I try to keep them. I try to do the best that I can. What does Jesus say in verse 22? Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. He might have tried, this ruler, obviously he tried to keep the commandments. But what Jesus was showing him there was that he had to be willing to give up everything for the Lord. It was a heart matter. It was a heart matter. He had to be willing to offer up his body as a living sacrifice unto God. He had to be willing to give his whole self unto the Lord and do whatever the Lord required of him. So that's a little illustration there, even about the rich young or the ruler. So the law is used by God through the Spirit to convict us of our sin. That is what the law does. It is used to convict us of our sin. It reveals to us our sin. What is sin? Well, the Catechism tells us that sin is any want of conformity. It's a lack of conforming to. And it's a transgressing. It's a going against the law of God. So sin is going against. It's going in the opposite direction from God. So therefore it is disobeying God. We talk about Adam and Eve. And we see how they disobeyed God. Well, they literally sinned. They sinned against God by taking of the forbidden fruit. God told them, don't take that fruit. Eve goes, takes the fruit, gives it to Adam, and they both sin. So they disobeyed God. He told them not to take it. They took it. They disobeyed God. So that is really what sin is. And it's disobeying God and going in the opposite direction. And if you're honest with yourselves, if we're all honest with ourselves and before God, each one of us will see that we have disobeyed every one of the commandments. Ask yourself, have you ever put any other thing before God? We've all done that. We've broken the first commandment. How many of us have broken the Sabbath day? We've broken the fourth commandment. How many of us has had an aggression in our heart against somebody else, a hatred, broken the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill? How many of us has stolen? How many of us has committed adultery? Not outwardly, maybe not outwardly. What about in our minds, in our thoughts? The Lord knoweth the heart. How many of us has coveted something? And as we look back over the past few years, past few months, we'll be able to see we have broken the commandments. The Lord spoke to the people that were gathered early in his ministry. He said in a summary how that if they had broken one of the law, one of the commandments, then they had broken them all. So therefore we're all guilty. The Bible says all have sinned. We've all disobeyed God. We have all fell short of the glory of God. There's another verse in Romans that says there is none righteous. There's not one of us that is good. There's not one of us that is perfect. We are sinful creatures. And we must remember that while the law reveals to us our sin, we must remember that for our sin there is a penalty. There is a cost for remaining in our sin. Because God is perfect, and because his law is perfect, and because we have disobeyed God's law demands that we be punished. God in his justice has to punish sin. He has set the law of God. The law of God is there for us. It's in the word of God. And we weigh up our lives before it, as we were doing there a minute ago. getting your thoughts challenged. And we see that we have fell below that standard. And so God must punish sin if it is unforgiven. If we were to stand before God, and I say this reverently, if God was to say, well, come on into heaven, and you hadn't repented of your sins and looked to Jesus Christ, if he was to say, it doesn't matter about your sins, come on in, that would make God a liar. That would mean God was unjust. That would mean God was unholy. But we know God is not a liar. Our God is not unholy. Our God is a God of truth. He is holy. He is harmless. God is a spirit. As the Catechism says it, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We know that our God is an honest God. So therefore the law, it demands justice for our sin. And therefore we're held in bondage by the law as sinners. We're held in bondage by the law. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. God has set the standard up. And if we don't meet that standard, he has to punish us. Because he has to be fair. He is just and he is upright. So therefore, we as sinners, we're found guilty. And we deserve to be punished for all eternity. So, we ask the question, what hope is there for us? We're driven in our hearts and in our minds, and we know that we have fell short of the glory of God. We know that we can't keep the commandments perfectly, even though we ought to. What do we do? If we can't never reach God's standard by ourselves, how are we ever going to get to heaven? And it's good for God's people to remember this, even as we go out witnessing. Always get people back to this. Get them back to the law. Get them back to the law. Back to good works. Point to them and show them the error of good works. This is a wonderful way to deal with people in the streets. There's many different cults and many different things out in society. And we can lead them to different things, different verses in the Bible. But get them to the law. Get them to the simple point of the problem. They're good works. Many people in society, they're full of self-righteousness. But getting back to the meeting here, those of you who are not saved, perhaps you're full of self-righteous efforts. But you need to realize you cannot reach God's standard in your own efforts. So how are you ever going to get to heaven? Well, you see, while God's law reveals to us our sin, it reveals to us what we deserve. It points us to something. It makes us run to someone who did something. And that person is the person of Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody, he said, the law can only chase a man to Calvary. The law can only chase a man to Calvary, but no further. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, we need to be directed to Christ. Because Jesus Christ, who is sent by God the Father into the world, he was the one who is perfect. He is the one who fulfilled the law. He is the one who obeyed the law perfectly. He is the one who, while in the flesh, knew no sin. He couldn't sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And because Jesus Christ was holy, because he was perfect, because he obeyed the law and he obeyed the will of God, the Father's will to go to the cross, and because of all that, he was able to be that sacrifice that could bear away the sins of his people, in which he would do. Because he was perfect, that blood was perfect, and that blood that has been shed has the power to cover all of our sins. It is sufficient to cover the sins of the world. But it is only efficient for his people. But the gospel is open to all that will believe. This is where you need to run to. That sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made has brought liberty to his people. Those who trust in Christ Once they were in bondage by the law, once they were held with the guilt of sin upon them, once they were destined for hell because of their guilt of sin, but because of what Christ has done, peace has been brought between God and man. Through who? Jesus Christ. Because he is perfect, and because he is perfect, his sacrifice was the accepted sacrifice before God. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Thinking of the death of Christ, thinking of the shedding of the blood, that has brought peace between God and men. Praise God that we can have forgiveness of sins. We can have peace. While the law will drive us to despair and will convict us of our sins, praise God that we can look to the one who can liberate us from the bondage and the guilt of the law, even Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to turn from your sins if you haven't done it. Repent. Turn away from the sins that you're convicted of. Look to Christ. Ask for forgiveness. And begin the new life of faith. This week I'm in Mullaglass, Holiday Bible Club in the evenings, and I've been thinking of going through Abraham. It's a wonderful study as you think of Abraham and the wickedness that there was in there of the Chaldees. People who literally worshipped idols. Members of his family worshipped idols. But God called Abraham, and he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees because he was going to use Abraham that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. All the nations of the earth would know the blessing of God through Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that God called Abraham, and he took with him Sarah, his wife, and there's a couple of other members of his family, but he went to the land of Canaan, and through his seed all the families of the earth are blessed today because they have received the promise that God gave to Abraham. And Abraham saw that promise by faith. He saw Jesus Christ. He saw the promise that God had laid out before him. And by faith, he walked the journey ahead of him. He walked the journey ahead of him by faith. But now, we look back to the cross. We see what Christ has done. And we can claim the promises of God's word for his people by faith, even today. Wonder, will you trust in the Lord? Stop walking by sight and see God by faith and walk with him and trust in his word. There's a little verse, or part of a verse, which Paul spoke to one of the churches. He said, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." I trust that we all will know Christ as Saviour. I've shared my testimony with you. You've seen how the ruler, he came thinking that he had done all that he could. We saw him, how he turned away. We saw the example of Abraham. He trusted the Lord. What will you do? There's others in the meeting tonight. They have trusted the Lord. But there are those who are unsaved. What will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him as the Son of God? Will you trust in him? That his sacrifice can... what he has accomplished on the cross at Calvary is enough to cover all of your sin, because it is. It is. It is enough. That's why Jesus said, "It is finished." So therefore, there's no other work that we need to do. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ.